If you have your Bible, turn with me, please, over to 1 Peter chapter 1 and follow along as I read beginning at verse 3. 1 Peter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are protected by the power of God, through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. Let's pray together. Father, quiet our hearts here in this place before your word. Open up our minds and our hearts so that we can see clearly what is written here. This is for us and it's for today. Whether it's something I'm going to be able to use today, tomorrow, this week, this month, or whether it's something I need to seriously, carefully understand and then file away for future use. Either way, this is the truth. And I need to have it easily accessible. It needs to be a part of my understanding of the information you want me to have. So take your word, your servant. May we communicate it clearly, handle it accurately, so that it can have your desired impact upon our hearts and upon our minds. As James challenged us, don't let us just be hearers. We are committed to being doers of your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our living hope. In some contexts, we would see that and we would almost immediately think in terms of Jesus, because that phrase certainly fits him. But here, Peter's not using it that way. He's referring to the living hope that we have here and now, using the hope not as an identification for Jesus, but the way hope is usually used in the New Testament, and that is anticipation. Our living anticipation. As we are living in Christ, as we are living this salvation that we have, this new life that we have in Christ, we have hope. We have anticipation. We saw last week from verse 2, the end part of verse 2, that we have grace and peace. He has given us grace and peace in fullest measure. Grace, free gift. God's gift to us, not because we've earned it, not because we deserve it. It's unconditional. He says, here it is. I love you. Jesus died for you. Your response needs to be faith. By grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. That grace then offers to us, brings to us, is at our disposal, true peace. Peace with our Creator. Peace with the judge of the world. We will stand before him. But we won't see him as judge, we will see him as Father. There's a difference. And it also provides then the way in which we can have peace with one another. If I truly understand God's grace, I have to be gracious with you, and you need to be gracious with me. And that's the foundation for peace. Always agreeing? No, I hope not. Otherwise, that makes a whole lot of us kind of dispensable. We don't have to agree about everything, but we need to be at peace with one another. And notice he says, in fullest measure. Jesus told his disciples, I want you to have life. I want you to have life abundantly. Here Peter is saying, probably even thinking of Jesus saying that. God has given us grace and peace. And he wants us to have a lot of it. In fullest measure. In light of that then, Peter continues, first, with our future inheritance. There is something coming for us as believers. Immediately, verses 3 and 4, we are born again to a living hope. There's that phrase. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Last week we noticed the work of all three, the Father, the Spirit, and the Son. Here the emphasis is upon the Father, but even brighter upon the Son. He has given us the Lord Jesus Christ. Mary's boy, Jesus, fully, totally man. Lord, God himself. He is the God-man. Christ, the Messiah, the Redeemer. All important if we're going to understand who he is. And through, by grace, to us, he's given us this mercy and brought us to a living hope, all upon the finished work of Christ, through the resurrection, see it here at the end of verse 3, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Jesus, Mary's boy. It was only because he is human that he could go through that process. Because he did, he is the Christ, our Redeemer, the Savior of the world. And as a result, we have an inheritance. And look at how it's described. Imperishable. He'll have more to say about that. Undefiled. There's nothing like it. Nothing mixed with it. Nothing to devalue it in any way. And it will not fade away. Reserved in heaven for you. That's what we have in Christ as the result of faith. Our future inheritance also means that we are kept by God's own power. Verse 5. You who are protected by the power of God through faith in a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. You who are protected. Your Bible maybe says shielded. Great picture word. A shield stands between a warrior and the enemy. We are kept, we are shielded. Here's the good news, by God's own power. If you've never thought about that, think about it a moment, and how well protected do you suppose you are in your salvation? God make a good shield, do you think? If he says you are protected by his power, you should feel secure. And with that in place, then, he says it will be revealed in the last time. through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. A good reminder that our salvation is not just about a choice you made at some point in the past. Salvation is not like that insurance policy you took out. You took it out, taken care of, put it away. Someday I'll need it, or my heirs will need it. I went to a revival. I went to an evangelistic meeting. I went down front. I prayed. I signed a card, stuck it in my Bible, stuck it in my Bible away, because I'm done, right? I took care of it. And it's all, I'm done. I did what God required of me. What we have learned in our study of James, and what we're going to be reminded of in our study of Peter, is that's not true. Is that event significant? Absolutely. Important? Absolutely. But it is the beginning, not the end. It's the start of a process of salvation that continues. The fancy word is sanctification, a process of growing more and more like Christ. Just the beginning. But someday it will all be revealed. I know I can get an amen if I look over here at Brother Norris and say, maybe today? Yeah. John put it this way, someday we will see Jesus. We will see him and we will be like him. We are kept, we are shielded by God's power until that day when our salvation is fully revealed. Our present joy, that's verses 6 through 9. We are preserved by God, and don't miss this, for his ultimate glory. If at any point you find yourself doing anything, you think you're doing it for God, you're doing anything, and you're sure hoping somebody notices, you're on the wrong track. Verse 6 says, for in this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, remember, verse 4, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You, those of you who were here last week may remember, when Peter is writing this letter, it's probably around 64 AD, during the time of Nero, and he had recently burned a large portion of Rome. Needed to do that to rebuild some of it and again draw attention to himself. But he didn't want to take blame. And the easiest target was the church. It started in Rome, but it was already, that persecution was already starting to be felt here in Asia Minor, where Peter is writing. Peter is writing from Rome. We'll see that at the end. He's writing from Rome. They've felt the pressure. And he wants them to know that it's coming, but don't worry about it. Remember, you're protected by the power of God, the shield of God. So you can even rejoice, verse 6, though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been distressed by various trials. Sometimes that is persecution. But there are many different challenges that the child of God will come up against. Questions, concerns. Some of which have to do with his stand and his faith. But they're all temporary. None of it lasts forever. Think about it, he says. The proof of your faith being more precious than gold. Why? Well, two things. One, it's perishable. Even when the pure, the gold, when gold goes through refining, you know how much we think of gold, right? When gold goes through refining, the purer it is, the softer it is. There's a sense in which, even in its purest fashion or form, it loses some of its usefulness. And while we don't carry much gold around anymore, those symbols that we have in our pockets, have you noticed, especially today, that it seems to fly away? Gone is gone, right? Compared to what God has for us. And even though we go through times of trial, times of testing, or what he says, it calls in verse 7, the proof of your faith, as you withstand those challenges, the result will be in praise, the end of verse 7, in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Not your praise, glory, and honor, but his ultimate glory. For what you get through and what he has for you. And then in verse 8, Peter reminds us that we are to be motivated by love for the Savior. Not motivated by keeping a bunch of rules. We don't want to fall into some kind of legalistic way of approaching God or Scripture. We don't want to go back to the law and be concerned about breaking the law and the consequences of that. We've been saved by grace through faith. So what should motivate us? Again, if salvation is all about a decision I made a long time ago and it's not affected my life since then, well, it doesn't matter. This discussion doesn't matter. But if we understand the words of Jesus and his apostles who wrote later, the proof of the salvation, the proof of the reality of that single event, is the life that's being lived. There will be evidence of that. And the longer you've been at it, the more evidence. What motivates you? Love for the Savior. All that he's done for me, all that he's done for you, starting with the cross, but everything since then. Motivated by love for the Savior. And then finally, remembering that we are saved through a working faith. Verse 9, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. Now, we're not working for salvation. We're not hoping we can work hard enough to keep our salvation. We're talking about sanctification and the life that we are now living in Christ, growing and maturing. So that if I understand that I'm preserved by God for His ultimate glory, I'm motivated by love for the Savior, then I will see that continually worked out in my life the way life was meant to be lived. God did not expect, God did not plan for you to make that decision a long time ago and then live the rest of your life as you please. He expects the saving faith that took place back here to be plugged into your life for eternity, starting here and now, and impacting every part of your life. So even during times of persecution, times when we are overwhelmed, times when we have questions, this is where we look at 1 Peter 5 and 10, part of Peter's conclusion to this letter. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Remember, during those times of challenge, we still have a God of all grace, who extended that grace through the eternal glory of Christ. And that process, through that process, God Himself perfects, confirms, strengthens, and establishes His children. Though the purposes for the future involve some pain in the present, He will nevertheless give us grace to endure and preserve. Someone else put it this way: attacked by the enemy, perfected by God. Remember that shield? He will accomplish His purposes in us. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for Your word. I pray that I've handled it accurately, communicated it clearly, and then that Your Holy Spirit will be able to take it and make the appropriate application to each life. You know the needs. I don't. You know who needs to hear and understand what today. You know the challenges better than we do. May Your words speak to us. Become a part of us, a part of who we are, how we think, and how we act. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.